Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. He's the one that rates the films in which the actors deserve no salary. From Straight Talk to Donnie Darko to Karate Kid Part 2. These are the worst movies that absolutely blew. These movies are so terrible they make you go berserk. You'd rather watch C-SPAN or the Home Shopping Network. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies suck so bad that you'd rather drink pee. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies fucking suck. Welcome to the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. I'm your host, the Z-Man. Anyways, this is just completing our Halloween Fright Fest reviews. Movies that are so bad that they freaking scare you to the point where your heart stops and you croak going, ugh! Because these movies suck so bad. Tell you what, I just came off of watching Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Well, let me tell you something. If you're out with a bunch of buddies and, like, you can't, you know how on Halloween you can't find, like, certain Halloween movies because, like, everybody's in the Halloween mood and, you know, this coming Friday, I mean, you'll probably be looking and, you know, you'll see, like, all the Halloweens taken out and, you know, probably all the Jasons and everything. Well, I'm telling you, this one's going to stay put, the one that I'm reviewing, for a fucking reason. Do not even come close to touching it. Don't even pick up the box that this piece of shit comes in. I mean, it looks so shitty on the front. I mean, I can't even explain it. But before we get into this review, I just want to say that, you know, out of the psychotic killers of the world, I would have to say that Michael Myers probably scares me the most. Just his mask, I mean, his white mask, scares the living bejesus out of me. I mean, like, look at it, it's just like pale white mask, it's just like a ghost or something, you know? And if you watch Halloween 1, you'll understand what I mean just by the fact that, like, he never says one word. Even Jason at times says, "Arr!" like that, you know? And, like, even Freddy Krueger talks and stuff. I mean, he says some pretty funny stuff. He's the comics psycho killer, if you want to call him that. But, you know, I mean, like, Michael Myers, he just doesn't fuck around. I mean, he kills you. He's out to kill you, and he doesn't fuck around. He's not trying to hide anything. He'll just come right out, and he'll just kill you. I mean, he'll chop your balls off, chop your head off, and chop your legs off before you can say Samurai Chicken. I mean, he's crazy. So, anyways, what's the most important thing about Halloween, right? You know, Halloween 3, you pick it up and you kind of realize it's this big evil demon on the front. And you're thinking, you're with your drunk buddies. Wow, it's Halloween. It's got to have Michael Myers in it, you know? No, you would be totally incorrect. This movie sucks so bad. They take Michael Myers away from the film. The main star of the movie, they take away. Like, what, did William Shatner say no to, like, being, you know, Michael Myers? So they were too, John Carpenter and his, you know, writers were, like, too fucking cheap to, like, actually, you know, go get somebody else, like, some retard out of the mental ward or something, like, go, you know, have, like, no lines and just, like, kill people. I mean, good grief. I'm sure they could have found somebody to play Michael Myers, but no, they decided on a totally different story, and let that be the note of why this movie is probably the worst Halloween movie ever. I mean, beyond scary movies, this movie sucks. I mean, you'd rather, like, watch, you know, it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, all night long than this piece of crap. You'd rather get stuck with It's the Eagle Beast or Charlie Brown than this fucking film. You'd rather get the Berenstain Bears Halloween special than this fucking film. I mean, it's a piece of shit, and it's a waste of time, and, you know, even if you do get drunk, you're going to realize that Michael Myers is not in this film, and that's just going to piss you off. Probably want to the point where you go egg some innocent trick-or-treaters or something, you know? Just save the trouble so you don't get that build-up rage and start egging people. Well, anyways, pretty much the setting begins in California. And why is that, you know, unsettling to begin with? Because all the movies were in Haddonfield, Illinois. What the hell? Like, what scariness ever comes out of California? I'm sorry. Like, Hollywood scares me about as much as Screech Powers scares me in a fight. You know, that's not even scary. It's just laughable. So, pretty much, what happens in the beginning is you're looking at the city of L.A. and you see some scientist named Mr. Grenrich running from these, you know, crazy zombie people that are driving a car in business suits that, like, might say two lines total the entire movie. They don't do anything, they just kill, you know, for whatever reason. So, this guy's running, alright, and he's just, like, running along like a marathon or something. And it's absolutely ridiculous how many miles he runs. And he's running faster than what they are driving, which is pretty intense running, if you ask me. I mean, you gotta be like a dude from Kenya or something, you know, to run that fast. Gotta be like a cheetah running 70 miles an hour. So, anyways, these two men in business suits that can't drive faster than what this man runs. Don't ask me why. They're chasing him. And anyways, eventually they get to this junkyard. And pretty much what happens is this. This scientist named Mr. Grenwich smashes the crazy zombie dude in the business suit up against the car. He takes his car and smashes him, like, the business suit man's car and just smashes him in between, like, two cars. That was pretty brutal, I'd have to admit. I've never seen a bad guy killed like that. So, the next business guy that's running after him just kind of tails off, and Mr. Grenrich, the crazy scientist man that you'll eventually be introduced to completely, goes to a gas station, alright? And if we know anything about horror movies, we know that the brother always gets it, right? And everybody always asks, well, why does the brother always get it? Well, you'd assume that this brother's going to get it from the business suit man, too. But no, for whatever reason, he's able to fight off this man in a business suit, and they kill him off, and then he gets taken to the hospital. And Mr. Grenrich, meanwhile, they described this black guy at a gas station. The gas attendant looks like Stevie Wonder. I mean, it almost makes you want to get up and say, I just want to say I love you. I just want you to know how much I care. Well, anyways, besides that, Stevie Wonder, as I like to refer to him, takes him over to the hospital, and he's just kind of hallucinating at this point. He's like, oh my god, I can't believe this happening. These people and these masks, and he's just totally delusional. So you have really no introduction to what's going on. You just kind of gotta figure out for yourself as the movie unfolds. Well, in walks Dr. Cherlius, the main character for this film. And there's really no stars, but this guy is kind of a semi-star. If you remember Michael J. Huntsucker, the guy that gets shot in Lethal Weapon when he's drinking the milk, and there's like a bunch of bullets, and then it's like, bleh, he like dies. Well, Huntsucker is actually the guy that plays Dr. Cherlius in this film. His name's not really important, but that's the main star of this film. That's how bad this movie is. I mean, for Halloween, I mean, come on. Like, it's fucking horrible, man. Fucking horrible. You almost want to hit the tape player and go, game over, man! Game over, I can't take it anymore! But we're gonna continue on with this. So, anyways, Dr. Cherlius is there, and he's like, what's going on? What's happening? You know, and meanwhile, you kind of get the sense that this hospital has, like, no security at all. Like, what type of a doctor's office or, hospital has, like, no security? I mean, you could just, like, walk right in and steal, like, medical equipment. That's what I'd be doing. I'd freaking rip him off of, like, $100 billion of medical equipment and start selling it on eBay or something. You know, could be a rich man doing that. I'd be ripping off this hospital every night. So, the fact that there's just no security there is just pretty laughable. It's pretty unrealistic, if you ask me. Well, anyways, Mr. Grenrich talks to Dr. Cherlius, but he only has, like, two lines. He's like, those people! Those things! Those! And then he, like, faints, you know. So, Dr. Cherlius is like, well, he's the guy that, you know, he's piecing stuff together, and he's like, maybe he's the guy that, you know, sells Halloween masks. Well, let that be kind of the signal for the plot eventually here that I'm going to get to. Well, after all of this, pretty much Mr. Grenrich is sleeping, and he's kind of like on an IV and all. Well, there's a man, sure enough, there's a man in a business suit, and he ends up, like, crawling in. It's pretty much the same one that didn't die from before. Well, the businessman crawls right into the, you know, hospital. I mean, he just walks right in. It's kind of funny, because, there's just no security there, and he could just walk right in and kill somebody. I mean, you think they would have somebody, like, guarding, you know, this poor guy that was, like, got the shit kicked out of him. But no, they don't give a fuck about him. So, the man in the business suit comes in, and the business suit zombie, as we'll refer to him as, gouges the Mr. Grenwich's eyes out. It's, like, funny. It's kind of funny, because he's like, you can actually hear the, like, when he squeezes into his eyes, because he's like, it's really cheesy. Cheese whiz cheesy. Well, after that, there's this black lady, and what, again, what do we know about black people? They always, you know, the brother always gets it, or the sister always gets it. Well, this old black lady, this old black nurse is just like, when she looks. And you think the businessman in the suit would have, like, enough intelligence to, you know, kill off the lady, too, while you're at it. I mean, if you're going to kill Mr. Grenwich, why not kill the old bag that's yelling for security? Well, non-security, I guess, just for a doctor, because there is no security. Type of fucking hospital doesn't have security. I mean, I wouldn't go to a hospital that didn't have security. If I was, like, laying on my deathbed, I'd rather just die, because you're probably going to die when somebody walks in and, like, pulls your plug anyways. So, this man in a business suit just starts to walk through his car, okay, and, like, he just drowses himself in, like, gasoline, and then just lights the car on fire and explodes, killing him. So, I guess he just had an agenda or something. Well, or just, like, a mission, and if he failed, he just blew himself up, or completed his mission, you just kill yourself. Well, as you find out, eventually, we'll get to the real thickening of the plot, which is right about here. Dr. Charlie starts talking to the police and everything, and his kids at home have these masks, and on the back of it, it says Shamrock, because they were made from Shamrock Company, which we'll get into later, that controls this whole entire operation. Their whole agenda is to kill off all the kids on Halloween night. So, anyways, after that, Dr. Charlie has talked to the police, and he, you know, tells his wife, I'm sorry, you know, I can't be there. I know I said I'd take the kids there. Well, being the ignorant bitch that she doesn't even understand, just, like, starts flipping out. Why can't you see the kids? Well, somebody died there. Like, two people died. I mean, like, there were a murder and a suicide. You think he's gonna really have time to, like, you know, take the kids out somewhere? Hey, police officer, do you mind if, you know, I kinda don't report this? I mean, what a ignorant bitch. Just hangs up the phone. Well, after that, the Dr. Charlie just kind of spends the night in the hospital going over this stuff with all these police officers and sheriffs and whatnot. Well, he starts talking to Ellen Grenwich, Mr. Grenwich's daughter, that, you know, got his eyes gouged out. So, pretty much, Ellen kind of introduces you to the idea that Mr. Grenwich owned his own Halloween mask store. So, it switches up to where she just kind of flips out and just, you know, really starts to freak out about her father's death, and she keeps calling him Papa. But we'll get to that later. It's kind of funny because there's this one sheriff that goes, when you feel alright, And when you're okay, we'll talk. When you feel alright. Your dad just fucking died, and you expect her to be, like, feel alright when, you know, like, her dad just got his eyes gouged out and, like, probably suffered the worst possible death. You just expect her to just, like, talk to you about what she knows? I mean, come on. Like, that's so ignorant. What the hell is wrong with police officers these days? You know, when you feel alright, I understand that you're upset, but when you feel alright, she's probably never gonna feel alright. So, like, when the hell is she supposed to tell you, you know, what she knows? I mean, come on, let's be real. Talk about disrespect for fucking humanity, jeez. So, after that, basically, she just goes, Dr. Trelius and her go their own way, pretty much. So Dr. Trelius is sitting at a bar, and it's kind of funny, because this movie, although as bad as it is, does make some references to Michael Myers and Halloween, and sure enough, on the tube, like, there's a preview for Halloween, the classic, and it kind of shows Jamie Lee Curtis and, like, a clip on the television screen at the bar, like, of Michael Myers trying to get the, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis. So, that's kind of funny in itself, because it's almost like a new nightmare, if you remember right in, Freddy Krueger movies, like, a new nightmare where, like, it's actually real, it's not fake, it's not supposed to be fake, and they're just kind of making a mockery of, like, the past, like, six films of, like, Freddy's Dead and, you know, Freddy 1, 2, and 3 and all those other goofy-ass movies. Well, it's kind of doing the same. It's kind of making a mockery of Halloween 1 and just kind of showing it on the screen. I don't know why the hell they felt the need to, like, reference it, because it's like, oh, is this really tied to the Halloween story? Well, you should have made the movie so it was actually tied to the Halloween, you know, Halloween stories of Michael Myers. Not some fucking mask brigade shit, and not some old man who's controlling it, which we'll get to eventually. So, anyways, pretty much, he talks to the bartender and he's like, shut that stuff off, I'm watching football, I'm tired of Halloween stuff, come on. Well, anyways, in walks Ellen Greenwich, and how the hell she knew that he was going to be at the bar is beyond me. I mean, what'd she do, like, midnight Stockholm or something, you know, just to get some answers? I mean, she probably followed him the entire way through town or whatever town they're at in California. So, anyways, they're sitting there pretty much talking, and she says to drop by the store later on. Well, Dr. Charlie drops by the Halloween store, and this is where you're introduced to the real plot. See, there's these Halloween masks that Mr. Greenwich used to make, and they, on the back of each mask, there's a pennant called Shamrock Masks. And the pennant is supposed to have this robotic power, which we'll get into eventually. It's supposed to zap you, like, while you're looking at a TV screen for a commercial. I'm telling you, that is the fucking storyline. And if you haven't, I mean, this is the most bizarre storyline ever. Like, these directors were smoking not just crack, they were smoking, like, cocaine. Like, they were probably eating the cocaine, like, whole. Just, like, out of the bag, like, eating the dust on this one. Because whoever came up with that storyline must have been, like, the most stoned person alive. I'm dead serious. Well, after that, they say, well, let's go, you know, visit, the Shamrock, station up there in, Santa Monica. Well, they kind of look into some factual information, and he calls up this autopsy girl, and you're introduced to her, and Dr. Turlius tells her that to, you know, do an autopsy report, and pretty much, she keeps fucking up, but we'll get to that again later in the movie, as we get through the review, but, pretty much, she says that, you know, she can't find any information on what happened to the guy because the businessman that died, like, his whole entire body burned up and all there are ashes and just car parts. So, she sticks to the autopsy as Dr. Turlius, you know, asked her to do, but she's like, you owe me 5 dinners when you come back. Well, they take the trip to Santa Monica, and it's pretty funny because he just, like, whips out a six-pack and says, let's go. Boy, that's a real great idea when you're trying to solve a mystery. Bring a six-pack and get really intoxicated so you can't figure anything out and think coherently, because alcohol always makes you think coherently. It's thinking drinking, right? Wow. Anyways, they go to Santa Monica, and they figure out this town is, like, totally Celtic. And, Ellen Greenwich and, Dr. Turlius are like, wow, this town is so bizarre. And it is. I mean, think about it. When has there ever been an Irish town in California? I mean, aren't Irish people supposed to have really light skin? So that really wouldn't make sense, right? Well, you kind of roll into this town, and it's completely bare. And I have a solution as to why that happened. Like, why this all happened. Like, I have a total explanation as to why. See, Irish people have light skin, and you figure, like, you know, in California, the sun always shines, right? So, I figure, like, they just don't got skin cancer and died, basically. That's probably what happened to all the townsfolks. So, I really don't know, but it could have happened. I mean, you never know. I mean, Irish people do have white skin. I mean, white skin, to be honest. They probably all died from skin cancer. So, I mean, why not roll into a town and bring your own masks in and start creating business people out of the dead people and, you know, make them controlled by robots? Well, anyways, pretty much they just stroll into this town, and they're at this gas station again, and there's an old guy in a fishing hat that kind of has this weird Irish accent. He has, like, this weird fake one. He's like, "Good morning to ya. How you doing today?" It's not even, like, real. I mean, it's a terrible, you know, "My name is Mr. O'Malley." You know, kind of, like, not real, like, crisp Irish accent going on. Well, it pretty much says on the sign that it's, like, home to the Shamrock Company and the Shamrock Masks. And it keeps talking about, oh, that Mr. Cochran, laddie, he's a good one. He's so wonderful. And, you kind of introduce the Mr. Cochran right away as he strolls in his, like, big limo and everything. He's kind of like, I guess, the mayor of the town. Well, anyways, what's surprising about this is the gas station man, he said, "Do you need a place to stay, laddie?" And they asked for a place to stay. Dr. Shirley says, "Well, yeah, sure. I mean, can you hook us up with a place?" Well, sure enough, he said, you know, go right down to this hotel. And sure enough, guess who owns the hotel? This Mr. O'Malley guy. The same guy that worked at the gas station. So, like, what does he do? Like, you know, just work at the gas station and, you know, take care of the hotel at the same time. That's a lot of fucking work. I don't think, like, what does this guy do? Like, work 24/7 and never fall asleep? I mean, what the hell? That's just totally outrageous. Works two jobs, owns two places, and runs them all himself, you know, in a hotel and a gas station. So, God only knows what this guy runs completely. He probably runs, you know, the bank and everything else. I mean, well, I mean, you gotta figure he's probably like the only townie, you know, left in this freaking so-called made-up town of Santa Monica that's supposed to be, you know, Irish town. Actually, it's called Santa Maria. Correcting myself, Santa Maria. Well, anyways, pretty much, you're introduced to Mr. Cochran, and you're introduced to this idea of the mass. And how this all starts is this family rolls in, and they're in their Winnebago, kind of a la, you know, National Lampoon's Vacation style, on Holiday Road, and you got, you know, the usual family with their ignorant kid that, you know, always flips off the mom, and they're just a normal, typical assaholic, you know, American family. I mean, this guy that comes up, he's the total asshole, and he just, you know, he's more annoying than, like, Gilbert Godfrey, going back to him again, but he really is. And he's just like, oh, I'm here to see these masks, and, you know, my family's here, and, you know, he owns his own business, and he was invited by Mr. Cochran to come up and, you know, see the whole entire company where it's based. And then there was there's a lady, I can't even remember her name, she's just so distant, but she owned her own business too, and she pulls up right into the, you know, lot, and she just already has a serious problem with this family. They kind of, like, argue back and forth, but, and, you know, she says that, you know, their kid's ignorant and all, but, the Cutbirds, as this family's called, just kind of ignores the lady. So this lady introduces herself to, eventually that night, to Dr. Trillius and Ellen Greenwich, and they kind of talk, and then sure enough, instead of investigating the situation like he's supposed to be doing, Mr. Trillius and Ellen just start making out of nowhere, and they just start bumping uglies like it's nobody's business. And sure enough, the lady that introduced herself to Ellen, she picks up this shamrock pennant and it zaps her like out of nowhere. It's like this huge beam of light that goes and the whole, you know, all these bugs come out of her and shit, and it's just gross. I mean, it's like the most horrifying look ever. It's like someone that was born, like, seriously deformed and just, like, didn't have enough oxygen and just, like, died. So, anyways, you get a look at her, and Mr. Cochran just, like, rolls right up, and, you know, the Shamrock Hospital, as they call it, like, rolls right in, and actually, you know, what's kind of odd is that they don't take her to a hospital. They just pretty much take her to the, you know, company. So I guess the company owns its own hospital as well, which is, you know, already a red flag that this guy is fucking insane. So Mr. Cochran goes, oh, we'll take great care of her at this company. Meanwhile, she's already dead, okay? And what the hell are they talking about a misfire for from the chip? Like, they were probably intending for this chick to die anyways. So, pretty much, it's just down to Dr. Trillius, Ellen Greenwich, and the Cutbirds. Well, the next day, Dr. Trillius talks to, goes into the office of Shamrock Masks and asks about a shipment that Mr. Greenwich tried to pick up because they're trying to solve his murder. Well, pretty much you figure out that he did pick up his shipment and everything, and you kind of get the sense that, you know, they're behind this, okay, these Shamrock people. Well, sure enough, they figure that out, but we'll get into that later. Well, the Assaholic family's there, and the Cupboards, and they're kind of like, oh, Mr. Cochran goes, oh, it's the Cupboards. He's our number one seller for masks. And he goes, oh, look, I'm sorry, I remember you two. I haven't been introduced. And he goes, the last name's Smith. Mr. and Mrs. Smith were married. And that was pretty funny because you know damn well that that's like the... I mean, can't you think of something different besides Mr. and Mrs. Smith? I mean, hello, that's like saying you're like Jane Doe and, you know, Joe Doe or whatever the hell they call those, you know, misidentified people. So, like, already you know that's a made-up name, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I mean, come on. Nobody investigating would just outright say Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's stupid. So, Mr. Cochran, the business owner, already knows that he's lying. So, the Cupboards agree to take him on a tour, on their tour, the same tour, and because the asshole goes, whoa, can't they come with us? Oh, I want them to see their masks. And sure enough, Ellen Greenwich, being the idiot she is, she goes, oh, come on, we need to, you know, tour this company, and Dr. Trelius actually gives into it. Well, pretty much, they go through the whole entire, you know, tour and everything, and, they're brought to a part that says final processing on it, and it's actually you're meant to keep out, of course, because you know they're killing off people and trying to create this, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer-like type plot in which they're going to kill all the kids that are, you know, trick-or-treating and haven't bought these masks. I mean, what an ignorant, sick fuck. So, after that, Mr. Cochran, you see Mr. Cochran and his business people all lined up outside, and it's like this huge business army, like something out of the Matrix, you know, they're just all standing around, and Dr. Trelius figures it out. He's like, oh shit, we gotta go, because they're the crazy business people that killed your dad. So they just, like, hightail it out of there, and pretty much they don't say anything. Like, Ellen Greenwich tried to get into the final processing unit, and there's these two business guys standing there, and they don't even, like, let her in. They just, like, stand there like assholes and just trying to block her instead of saying, you can't go here. You know, like, seriously, if you're going to make robots, at least allow them to talk, not just stand there totally numb. I mean, come on, that's like being a vegetable or something, and just having the ability to move. So, actually, they start running off, and they start hightailing it out of there to dodge. Sure enough, they're stupid enough to go back to the hotel instead of leaving the city like they should have and get it and calling police. I mean, if you knew that they were trying to, you know, kill you, wouldn't you get the hell out of there and just go the whole way back to Los Angeles when you actually could? No, what does Dr. Trelius do, being the idiot he is? He goes to the hotel, tries to make a phone call. Sure enough, at the hotel, the phone lines are completely cut off because nobody in the town works the operating system. It's controlled by Dr. Cochran or Mr. Cochran, as I should say. And the lines are completely tapped, so he's gonna know what you're talking about. Well, he sends his business people after he figures out that, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith are no longer Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and he captures, they end up capturing Ellen Greenwich, and eventually they start chasing Dr. Churlius along in the middle of the night, and he's just running along, and then eventually he instead of going to get help like he should have, no, what does he do? He goes right back into the, like, Hellfire and Brimstone that is the Shamrock Masks Corporation, and he gets caught. So, pretty much, Dr. Cochran shows what's going to happen on Halloween night in his sick, twisted Jeffrey Dahmer-like plot. He puts the family in this, like, testing room, and they're wearing these masks. He's like, wear your mask, you know, don't forget to wear your mask, and he write a preview. Well, the kid says, oh, it's the Shamrock, you know, Halloween commercial. Sure enough, he puts on his mask, and that little pennant, like, fires out this, like, glowing ray, and, like, all these bugs start coming out of his, like, mouth. It's sick. I mean, there's, like, snakes and everything, and just totally freaking deforms the kid. He's, like, dead. And meanwhile, the mom, like, freaks out and dies. And then the dad, he's like, like Mr. Wilson on, like, Dennis the Menace, and he just dies. So, like, apparently, I'm guessing those two either died of a heart attack or a snake bite or something. But they just drop dead out of nowhere. Freaking stupid. So, after watching the commercial, you die. Well, Mr. Cochran then reveals his total plot. See, it's this Stonehenge that allows you to diversify this evil plot, because the Stonehenge, this shitty rock that he's talking about, has this mythical power to, like, you know, destroy, like, anything, like, because of its magnetic energy or something. I have no idea. Pretty much all I know is the Stonehenge is bad news, and you really shouldn't touch it. Well, after all that, he pretty much straps down Dr. Churlius and makes him wear a mask the entire time, and makes him watch Halloween, because that's the network that they're gonna put this commercial on at 9 o'clock. So, why all these kids are addicted to this commercial is completely beyond me. I mean, it's like this shitty commercial that nobody cares about. Well, the autopsy lady, sure enough, finds something, okay? We're going, switching back to that, and she's calling all around, but she can't get a hold of anybody. Well, somehow, some way, a crazy guy in a businessman suit was able to locate her. I mean, what's he got, like a GPS tracking system to, like, track all the people that are trying to get a hold of Dr. Churlius? Like, she's freaking miles and miles away. What the hell did he do? Just, like, you know, drive that far, like 4 hours, to go kill this lady? It was freaking stupid. So anyways, he takes out his drill, grabs the girl, and just, like, drills her face in to the ground. It's pretty funny how she screams. She goes, "Aah!" It's really cheesy. And he goes, like, right to her head. So that was a pretty crazy, death idea and twist in the plot after she tried to call the sheriff's office, which the sheriff would absolutely do you no good anyways. Well, after that, he's just hanging with the mask, and he's strapped down, and he's like, oh shit, I'm fucked. Well, he he somehow gets out of it, and I can't even really remember how, because at this point in the game, I just had trouble paying attention to this shitty movie. Well, he breaks out of it, and while watching, being forced to watch the first Halloween, there's that Halloween reference again, because they had to do that, because you wouldn't know that this was tied to, like, Michael Myers if you had watched this movie without the, you know, references to Michael Myers. Well, anyways, he breaks out of it, and he starts beating the hell out of all these businessmen in their suits, and eventually he finds Ellen, and at this point, it's pretty obvious that she's a fucking robot by now, but no, he can't figure that out, even though she's completely unresponsive to what he's saying. So, she just, like, runs with him and stuff instead of, like, trying to kill him right away. You think she'd be able to do that? Well, anyways, and pretty much what happens is he beats up all the businessmen and then uses the Shamrock device on the Stonehenge, which incorporates a huge circle that kills them all off, all of them, all the businessmen and Dr. Cochran. And it's kind of funny because, like, at the end, he turns into this, like, marshmallow-like figure, a la State Puff Marshmallow Man from, you know, Ghostbusters, and just, like, fucking explodes. It's like, like, when he dies, and it's pretty funny. So after all that, you know, they're just driving along in the car, and you think the movie's over, right? Like, it's all over. The whole entire, like, city's starting to explode everywhere. And guess what? No, you'd be wrong. There's no end to this shitty movie. Well, anyways, Ellen, you know Ellen's a robot because she's not talking. So she's completely unresponsive and then just starts, like, tweaking out and, like, tries to kill Dr. Trillius. When she already had the chance before, like, why not try to kill him immediately when he tried to free you? You would have had a better shot of killing him then. Well, sure enough, she's completely unsuccessful, and Dr. Trillius in the struggle, like, freaking crowbars her head off. She's looking at her head and decapitated body, but is able to get her hand, control her hand to get his, to his neck, and just kind of chokes him. I mean, at this point, he's just literally going insane and in total shock, and this, it would be freak me out, too, if the hand was trying to choke me. He straggles that off, and then, sure enough, for one final push, her decapitated body tries to choke him out again, but he just pushes it off, and it just falls to the floor like a robot piece of shit that it is. So, anyways, they're driving, he's driving away, and he figures that he has to get all the channels to stop at this gas station, calls the, local news station up. But the weird part is it local or is it national? Because I'm completely confused. They show you all these clips of all these kids in different cities and stuff from all over the, you know, United States, like, putting these Halloween masks on. And sure enough, all the, kids going trick-or-treating and stuff are getting ready to go watch this stupid commercial that they're completely addicted to. I mean, I don't get it. I could understand if it was a TV show, but it's a fucking commercial, for God's sake. Like, why be so enthused about a commercial? I was never enthused about a commercial as a kid. I was always, like, putting up my middle finger because, you know, I wanted to watch a movie or a TV show rather than a commercial. I mean, commercials are just completely annoying. So, that kind of doesn't make any sense. Well, he's like, hurry up, stop the commercials, and sure enough, before it came on, he was able to stop it all. But why didn't he, like, the kids that were just standing there fucking with the TV, like, why didn't he just have them watch that? At least he could have saved those kids. No, instead, he's like, turn the on the third channel, turn it off. He's not even telling them what channel it is that's showing the commercial. He's just like, on the third channel, turn it off. Ah, no. And that's how the movie ends. What a piece of shit. Worst fucking Halloween movie ever. Do not rent this film with your drunk buddies and think that you're going to get Michael Myers. No, instead, you're going to get some incoherent, delusional, crackheaded, you know, freaking plot that absolutely makes about as much sense as, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer and the world of Mike Tyson. I mean, come on, seriously. This movie sucks so bad. I would rather seriously watch, you know, the cookbook channel. Like, the guy that sells all those cookbooks on WQED, it's like annoying as hell. I would rather watch the public broadcasting system and watch a symphony than watch this frickin' movie on Halloween night. I mean, like, I would rather watch, like, There Goes a Dump Truck or There Goes a Garbage Truck on Halloween night than watch this movie. Do not rent this movie. Do not pick up the case. It sucks, and you will be seriously disappointed. Well, that's my Halloween special for today. Unfortunately, I will not be on for the entire month of November. Just going through a lot right now. And I will have the internet back up and running as I make my push, because I'm moving back to Pennsylvania today. And that'll be my home base for the show now. But I'm moving back from Maryland to Pennsylvania, so wish me luck there. And pretty much that's all. Have a safe and special Halloween. Don't get too drunk, and don't egg kids, you know? I mean, the spirit of trick-or-treating needs to be there, and people need to give, you know, for those kids. I really feel bad because the economy sucks right now, and those poor kids are the ones who are suffering the most. So please, give them candy. Don't be a prick and, like, have all this money and then go make up the excuse, oh, I didn't know what day trick-or-treating was, so I didn't give candy. No, that's a horrible excuse to the kids. Take the time, look up your trick-or-treating date in your local area, and find out what your date is for trick-or-treating. Give to the kids. It's their time of the year, and it's something that they look forward to, and something that everybody should look forward to. And one final note, forgot about my Halloween story that I usually tell on this show. Well, I got one more funny memory for you of Halloween. And it's my friend's story, really. It's not my story. This is what my friend Jerry told me, a.k.a. Dr. Hutter. Well, pretty much the same kid kept coming to his door for trick-or-treating and being a douchebag and, like, continually, you know, ruining the kids, other kids' fun. And I hate kids that do that, come the same door, like, four different times asking. So, sure enough, on the fourth time he showed up, Jerry's dad got this diaper and put it in there, this used diaper, and put it in there, a dirty diaper out of the trash, and put it in the fucking Halloween basket. How disgusting is that? Can you imagine the look on the kid's face when he opens up his basket to see the dirty diapers in there? That was brutal. Well, that does it for this show. I'm Z-Man, and I'll be signing off for the next month. And I will definitely email and solidify everything so that you're able to listen to my show. Thanks for listening. Happy Halloween.